Sichus Chelik Yudalid Parshas Ekev Chof Menachem Av. So this Sicha is going to be discussing the connection between the breaking of the Luchos and the Misa of Tzadikim. Because in this week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu is continuing the Teichacha, the rebuke that he's giving the Jewish people. And at the beginning he starts off describing an aver that they did at the beginning of the 40 years when they've done the Chet HaEgel. And then right afterwards, it discusses the Misas Aaron, which is at the end of the 40 years. So the Shaila is, what's the connection between the Teichacha, which is by the Chet HaEgel, which is at the beginning of the 40 years, and then it says they travel and they continue going on, and Aaron dies. It's like Mashmah that it was like the next event that took place, but the truth is it wasn't the next event that took place after they left Har Sinai. Rather, it was 40 years later. So therefore, Rashi tells us that it's Kashim Misasal Shal Tzadikim Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like the breaking of the Luchos. So this Sicha is going to describe what really is the inner connection between these two ideas, and because of that, that's why the Psukim put them both together. So Sif Aleph. B'tam HaSmichus Shal Shvirus HaLuchos in the Misas Aaron Parashasenu Omru Rizal Ki Kosha Misasal Shal Tzadikim Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ki Shvirus HaLuchos. The reasoning of the smichus of the breaking of the luchos to the misa of Aaron our parsha, Chazal tell us because it's hard that for Hashem the misa of tzaddikim just like the breaking of the luchos. V'hine, k'shatoros emes misham ve'bezin yanim harzeh hashva amitis v'kololis. When the Torah compares two ideas, it's a true comparison. It's not just comparing two ideas, saying, "Oh, this is hard for Hashem and this is hard for Hashem," and therefore we're putting it together. If the Torah first of all, decides that it's necessary to tell us that these two things are similar, and on more than that, it actually is put together as one concept, is right next to each other. That means it's truly connected, these two ideas. So what does that mean? Zay Samaris, Shashva, the Mitzasan Shal Sadiq and the Shvir Salucha, Iloi Rak Bazet, Shashnaim Koshim Lefneha Kadosh Baruch, Voloi Rak Bazet, Shagid Lakushi, Hu Shavi Bishnehem, Kim Shem Daimim Zelazai Gambe Techon. He says, what this means is that the connection between these two ideas is not just that both of them are hard for Hashem and that they're both equally difficult, but rather they're essentially, in their essence, in their teichin, they're their same idea. And that's really the cause of the connection. And because of the great similarity that they have, therefore they're both difficult to Hashem. Meaning is, essentially, the death of Aaron and the breaking of the Luchos is one idea in its inner teichim, what they really mean. And because of that, the Mesubav, what comes out of that, that when the Luchos were broken, or when Aaron passed away, that caused this equal amount of pain and kushi to Hashem. And he says, and since they're similar in their teichen, therefore even in the pratin yonim, the different details of what happened, the different details of what happened by the shvirus haluchos, you will also find that similar idea in by the misa tzaddikim. Meaning is, we're going to look at the luchos and the different aspects, the different parts that the luchos are made up of, as we'll see later on in the Sicha. And just like the Luchos and the breaking the Luchos have different details about it, similarly by the Misa Tzadikim, it also will have those similar ideas. So v'sarach lahavin mahu hasad hashava the shvir sal Luchos u'misasin shal tzadikim b'chlol sin yanim u'mahu dimin da pratim. So we need to understand, first of all, what's the general connection, meaning is what's the general teichid of these two in yanim. And then also we can understand, through understanding the essence of what they are, how also the pratim are going to be the same. Base. So we're going to give a dhamma first. Hine af kshashvir saluchas yitzara v'koshvat v'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzinu sheyesh b'gam inyan l'mal yusa. So he says, even though the shvir saluchas is a very painful idea, as we know that shiva asur b'tamas, the Mishnah tells, the Rambam tells us that one of the reasons why we have Shiva Spatamas is because the Luchos were broken on that day. So it's, of course, very kashin lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But nonetheless, we also see a maila, an inyan malyusa, that we find by the Luchos. So, achachal adavar. K'sha Yisrael yeitz l'machama, ha yeitzim am ha'arn shubay mundachim shivray luchos. So now when the Medidim would go out to war, they would take with them the Aaron which was put, the broken Luchos. As it's discussed in this parsha, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went back to Hashem to get the Luchos Shnius, Hashem tells him to bring up an Aron of Eitz. And in that Aron of Eitz, they put the Luchos Shleimus and also the broken Luchos. Eventually, after Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yom Kippur, and he was commanded to build the Mishkan, then they made another Aron, which is the Aron of Gold, which was actually put in the Mishkan. And what they did was they took out the Luchos Shleimus, and they put it into the golden Aron, which was put into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But the wooden Aron still had within it the broken Luchos, and this wooden Aron with the broken Luchos would go with the Yidden out to war. And that continued all the way until the times of Shlomo Melech, when the Beis HaMikdash was built, and at that point even the Shuvrei Luchos were put in with the Aron HaZav. But for hundreds of years, they would take it out with them to go to war. So l'char etmor, hare shivrei luchos meskirin chetam shel Yisrael, v'loi chetz dam el cheta el egel shalav nemar v'yoy pakti, u'pakadi aleichim chatasim, sh'ein paran esba al Yisrael, sh'ein ba ksas miparan avoyin ha'egel. So the shaila is, the luchos, the broken luchos, remind us of the avera of the Yidden. And not just Stam and Aver, it's the Cheta Egel, which we know about the Cheta Egel. He says, whenever Hashem will remember any sin that person does, he'll also remember the Cheta Egel. Meaning, She'em Per Onus, that any punishment that comes to the Jewish people, there's always with it a part of the punishment that they should have received because of the Avayna Egel. Meaning, is any tragedy that befalls the Jewish people, part of the reason why that tragedy happens is because of the Cheta Egel. So we understand, of course, the Cheta Egel is a national tragedy. And it was because of our veir. So ich yitach should eish bnei Yisrael yitzel machamba shaz zukukim biyos limutzchus les eris rachmim aydei mitzvos umaisin tayvim. So the shaila is that we know them, and the bnei Yisrael went out to war. They needed even more his eris rachmim. They needed more of Hashem's kindness to us, and that's of course done through our mitzvos and our good deeds. Well, derech mashenemer kitzei samachne levecha v'goyim v'vayim mechanecha kadosh. As we know in the pasuk, when it says when you go out to war against your enemies, it says your machanecha has to be kaddish. You have to have a holy machma, and that parsha tells us different halachas about keeping different yanim of tznius, not having any type in yanim of erva, and different halachas which are discussed in that parsha. About keeping your camp holy. So we see how important it is to have an extra level of kedusha. So why would it be that they would take the Shivrei Luchos, which was something which we masachet avim? Elamai, as we're saying, mizem muchach, this proves that there's also an inyan malyusa in the Shivrei Luchos. Shadavki b'Shivrei Luchos yesh inyan, shalim utzchus av b'nei Yisrael yetzim l'chama. Meaning is that the broken Luchos has an inyan of limutzchus on the b'nei Yisrael yetzim l'chama, which will help them. V'lo'ayt, elosh schus g'day l'b'yayser. It's a very great schus. Shahare, what's the proof that it's a great schus? Shahare, yitzim l'chama, ha'yikulam tzadikim, she'im miyadam ela mai mitzvus amaisin tayvim. Because those who went out to war, we know, were complete tzaddikim, that they didn't only had good mitzvahs and ma'isim tayvim. They did not have any averus. It's actually Allah l'maisa, the Rebbe going to prove, because it says in the pasuk, "Mi shah yare ma'averus shibyadei nitzdava yelech v'yoshel l'beisav la'yamas." It says someone who's afraid. It says in the pasuk, someone who's afraid, he's supposed to return home. He has to return home. So the Chazal tells, what does it mean he's afraid? Why would he be afraid? He has a Hashem's avtacha that he's going to be protected. So the Chazal tells us because he's afraid, because he has a virus in his hands that he feels that he will not be protected. Therefore, he's commanded that he has to return home, so he should not cause his brethren to also become afraid. So there's actually a chiv for him to return home if he has an avera. Kumta chaisa, who's the ones who are remaining? Only the tzaddikim. But nonetheless, even though there's tzaddikim, and the chayyav, if they're tzaddikim, of course they're going to win. Why would they lose? They only have mitzvahs, ma'asim, tayim. There's no reason that they don't have any chasaron. But nonetheless, we're saying that it's not enough, and they need to have specifically the shuvrei luchos to go out with them in war in order to have that is ayrus ma'achmim. Why? So that's what we're going to discuss in the sicha. V'alpi anal muvin shal derech zu gam mitzvah tzaddikim. Gam bo yesh mayla g'dayla v'yeser dugmas ha-mayla sh'shvir saluchis. And similarly, we're going to say by the Misa Sadikim, just like the Pashtus, we're saying Misa Sadikim, something which is very, it's a tsar, something which is very hard by Hashem. But obviously, since it's compared to the Luchis, the breaking of the Luchis, so just like the breaking of the Luchis has an Inyan Mal Yusa Hu Adin, the Misa Sadikim also has a Maila Gedela. V'yesh Leimah, the Rabbi gives a proof of this. Shabitu Dekashem Itzashon Shel Tzadikim Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kashviras HaLuchis Nirmaz Game Ilu Shebishnei Inyonim Elu. He says that the word Kasha, it's Kasha the Mitzashon Shel Tzadikim Lefnei HaShem, like the breaking of the Luchis, that's hints to the Maila which is in these two Inyonim. Because where else do we find this expression Kikasha Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because Mitzini B'inyon Shu Tachlis Azai, we find Kasha Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu by an expression which is tachlas atayu kamaim rizah kasha kikriyas yamsuf asher kriyas yamsuf ve'echa nisam yesek deilim anayim, meaning is whenever the Chazal use a particular expression, it's obviously very meduik. So where else do we find the union of kasha? So we find it by the miracle of kriyas yamsuf. It says it's hard by Hashem to make a zivug, just like the it was hard by Hashem the kriyas yamsuf. So the union of zivug is obviously a great union, and of course the union of Kriyas Yamsuf. So by using that expression, we see that there is also something very special. Right? So it wasn't just kasha, that it's a pure tsar, that it there's no maila at all within it, but it's kasha in the sense also of yakar, of a certain amount of preciousness and something that Hashem appreciates. So the tsar lahavin. Ma ya maila bimisasal shal sadik ubishvirasal shal luchais. The lechayra hemin yom shakol kulam hem habacha maila. So the shail, of course, is what's the maila? A tzaddik passing away, the breaking of the luchas, lechayra, the whole inyan is habacha maila. What exactly is the gain in any of these things happening? Sif gimel, hine, gabi luchas harishonim namar va luchas maisa elakim hema va michta michta velakim hu charsa luchas. So it says in Parashas Kisisa, when it's describing Moshe Rabbeinu coming down from the mountain and he sees what the Yidden are doing in the camp, they're doing the Chet Egel, it describes the Luchos as the Luchos were a Maisa, they were an act of Hashem, a handiwork of Hashem, and the Michtav, the writing, was the writing of Hashem, which was engraved, this writing was engraved on the Luchos. And notwithstanding this great Maila of the Luchos, nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw what the Yidden were doing, he threw them down and destroyed them and broke them. Hainu. So what are the milas that we see over here? Shoybem shtei milas. Aleph mitzad luchos. Milas luchos mitzad atzel maaseh l'kim heima. There was the mila of the actual luchos, the actual tablets, the stone, mitzad themselves. They were a maaseh l'kim, meaning is they weren't. Look at Har 11. Rei Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. The haluchos loy nivru min ha'aretz ela min ha'shamayim. That the luchos were not created from the earth. They were created min ha'shamayim. There's something that Hashem made. So that's the first mila, that the luchos was not a stone that was taken from earth and then Hashem carved something in it. No, the luchos themselves were something that Hashem created, or something mid hashamayim. And based then there was malos mitzad michtav l'kim ha'charis alim. The second mila is that there was the michtav, the writing of Hashem. Hashem wrote on these luchos. And which way did he write in them? He wrote in them in a way of engraving. So he engraved on these luchos. And as we know, that was also a very special mila because of this. Chakukos baluchos was even a miracle that you could see within the luchos that certain letters like the mem, the sambach, it says these were letters, it was engraved the whole way through and through. So the mem and the sambach, the end mem, l'chayra, the middle of it should have fallen out, because if you make a mem or a sambach, it's on all four sides. So if you carve all four sides, the middle shall fall out. But the miracle was that nonetheless the middle of it still stayed within there, even though it wasn't attached to the stone in any way. And of course, that describes, of course, the spiritual energy which was within it, which was expressed in that miracle. So there's these two minds. The after luchos mitzad atzma hoisamayla nifla hanal b'chol zeis amr chazal that stalk amoish behem rosh shapar k'sav male amar heichani neislam liyisrael saluchos shem hamamish ala echoiz v'eshbrei. So even though the Luchos had a very great Maila, even on themselves, meaning is, even before the engraving that Hashem did within the Luchos, he says the actual stone itself had a great Maila. As we said, Hashem made these stones min Hashemayim. But nonetheless, Chazal tell us that when Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the Luchos, as he was approaching the camp, he looked at the Luchos and he saw that the letters flew away from them. He says, how can I give to the Yidden these tablets that have nothing, they have no substance to them? Rather, Echais, he grabbed onto them, I'll grab onto them and I will break them. L'chayr t'mua. Aleph, gam la'ach, shepar, k'sav, ma'aleh, ma'day, nisharum, ma'alosam, ha'niflo, she'em, ma'isa, l'kim. Ve'ech, omar, le'a, ma'ishash, e'em, ma'amish, l'chayr, there is two ma'ilis. So even if the letters, the michtav alakim flew away, but nonetheless they still have the first mile of ma'is alakim. So why would Moshe Rabbeinu say ein b'ham mamish? And beis ein b'ham mamish tam shlo yitat yitnim liyisrael kim legayin zayim lekiyetsav zah. Avloy adayin va'avloy inyan debazayim ashbrayim. Ein b'ham mamish is the reason why you shouldn't give it to the yidden. Rather you should put it in geniza. But why would you have to break it? What's the return it to Hashem? It actually, the Rebbe quotes the Rabbeinu Bachya in Ara 12, and the Rabbeinu Bachya asks the Shaila, he gives a mashal. He says, when you have a king that gives a letter with a seal on it, and he says, give it to this person, this royal edict. And he goes to the person, and the person doesn't want to receive it, or for whatever reason, or he can't receive it, or refuses it. So what does this person do? He doesn't just keep it or throw it away or burn it. L'chayr, what he's supposed to do is he returns it to the king. He wouldn't just go and destroy it. So L'chayr, the same thing over here. Why would Moshe Rabbeinu break and destroy the luchos? He should have just returned it. And Gimel. Pshita tzarech liyos achos. U'mayka mashmalam pirsh zeh she'ini maskush lochem azecheinim v'chulu. He says also, it's not understood what it says that he says, I'll grab onto them and then I'll throw them. He says, that's pashut. Obviously, if you want to throw something, you have to be holding onto it. He says, I'll hold onto it and I'll throw it. Fine, that makes sense. But obviously, you have to hold onto it. What's the chiddush? So there's other midrashim that add a nekuda. The nekuda that they say is that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, he was approaching the camp, and he saw what was going on. He wanted to take them back. So the Zakenim saw what was happening. So they ran after Moshe and they grabbed onto the luchos. So the Zakenim were holding onto it, the Moshe Rabbeinu. So what the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu grabbed onto it and he pulled it out of the Zakenim's hands and threw them down and broke it. So then it could be understood why it uses this expression, Echos, I'll grab onto them, I'll hold onto them, because the expression is saying is that he's taking it away from the Zakenim. But this Medrash doesn't mention anything. So, but Pashas, he was already holding on to it, or if he wasn't holding on to it, pick it up again. But it's obvious that in order to throw something, to break it, you'd have to actually be holding it. So what's it? What's the chiddush? What's it trying to teach us over there? So Dalit. Habir b'zeh behakdim dugma l'davar. So we're going to give it a little hakdama. Okay? An example of this concept. And then we could explain the answer to these three questions. So we have just a little hadama that we have a rule that with tumah and tahara, that materials, only a kli, there's also food, but only from when you're talking about an inanimate items, like metals, the only way they're able to be makal tumah is if they're made into a kli. So even if you have gold, but if it's not made into a kli, it won't be makal tumah. Once you make it into a kli, it will be makal tumah. So let's read it inside. Gol me chaymer hachi yakar inim chashum ad kadei lakabatuma ki im sarchlius nasim kli a kli sarchlius gemur b'chol ha'shleim yishala baratza. He says you have even if you have very expensive materials, they're not considered important enough to be able to tabatuma unless they're made into a kli, and not just stomachly, it has to be completed and has to be made according to the ratzon of the person. Right? Meaning is if this type of kli is supposed to have the way how it's fashioned, it has certain designs on it, that design needs to be there before it's able to be makabel tumah. So lach gemar melachas akli v'nitma v'achach nechse b'shleim sakli af shkemuv v'mahanal harzei yirida g'dayla ma'alasa b'chozah b'tumas ha'bedis. He says once the kli's finished and it becomes tameh, and then afterwards you lose some of the shleimus. Let's say, you know, some of that design got scratched off. A little hole was put inside of it. So the rule is it still stays tameh. If it had a hold in it, before, you know, while you're making the kli, initially if it had a hold, it wouldn't be makabel tumah, right? Because you need to finish the kli. If the design wasn't finished, it wouldn't have been makabel tumah. But once it's finished, and then once it's already a kli, and then it's nechsar, it doesn't lose that chashivas, and it's still keeps its tumah. So the only way for it to lose its tumah v'shivarasa metafkida ha'ikri demashka b'maitzi mashka v'chulu zuhi tekanasa bitul b'tumah. He says, rather, the way how you get rid of the tumah is by breaking it. And breaking it meaning is from its main tafkid. For example, if it's a cup that's meant to hold mashka, so if it has a hole that will cause the mashka to come out, then it'll become tummy. If the purpose is to hold pomegranates, it needs to have a hole the size of pomegranates. So the ikr tekana, the way how to get rid of the tumah, is by breaking the ikr tafkid. So the connection to our situation is like this. The luchais, the actual stone, that's like the goylem, that's like the material. And the letters which were put onto the luchais, that's like the ikr tafkid, you know, making it into a kli that's makabel with the tzura and the different designs. That's like the finishing up and making the kli into its main tafkid. So when the letters left, it was still a kli, but it was missing in its shlemus, as the Rebbe writes in R15. Meaning is by the letters flying away, that makes the kli now lose its main, makes it lose its shlemus. Meaning is, so we still have the luchis, but they're lacking in their milo. So therefore, what does that mean in our situation? That when the Yidin, they did something wrong, and because of what they did wrong, the letters had to fly away. So the luchos now are on a lower level. And because of that lower level, it didn't actually them ois luchos. They were still considered luchos. But the problem was there were luchos which were on a lower level. So what was the way to masak in the situation that you were going to have luchos that Yidin had that were on this lower level? The only way to fix it was by breaking it completely. So just like a kli tame, which if it's just somewhat broken, it's still going to be considered a kli tame, so, and you have to completely destroy it to get rid of the tumah completely. So hu adim ay luchis, when the Yidid did something wrong, they caused the letters, they caused it to lose that shlemus. It doesn't have the letters anymore, and it caused it to lose its mila. That's why the letters left. It lost its mila, and therefore the letters left. But it was still considered luchis. So in order to completely remove it from being in the category of luchis, which have a chasarin, which has a yerida within them, they need to be specifically break them. And I'm not exactly sure why he couldn't just leave them as luchis on a lower level, but l'chayr, but pashas, the reason is because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the Yidin to get new luchis, which would have the complete mila. So if they still had the original luchis just on a much lower mila, that would have been they would have had something already. So rather, what Moshe preferred to do is he broke them completely. Now the Yidin need to get new luchos, which would have the great Mila. And we're going to explain, we're going to give the, let's continue on. Hine ha-luchos ha-yu luchos avin shafilu kli gomer eina makabel tuma. So everyone just wants to bevarn that we don't, when we're making this comparison, it doesn't mean literally that the luchos were tame, because luchos, first of all, were made out of stone. And the law is that a kli which is made out of stone can never be makabel tuma. That's A. For oid ve'ikra afilu bosar yerd min shamayim taru. Another rule is that only things from this world to become tame. So therefore, the law is that if you have bosar the yerd min shamayim, meaning it comes from a nest, this bosar cannot become tamer. It's always going to be considered tahar. Olachas kama v'kama luchos shamayim selakim ema. So for sure, the luchos which were literally made from mayim selakim, made from Hashem, of course they are unable to be makabel tuma. So what's the comparison? Rather, what the Rebbe is trying to say is that it means that there's many different levels of Kedusha. And because they lost the letters, because of what they did, the letters left away, the Luchis lost a very great mile, and they didn't have that same level anymore. The Rebbe does bring an example in Halacha, when he gets to Tumah Tara, that such an idea that the Bigde Kodesh are Midrash Lachatis, the Gemara explains that things which are tahar for one purpose is not tahar for a holier purpose. For example, something, let's say you have a kli, you need to have tahar kli kalim for truma. So you have a kli which is tahar for truma, that is not tahar for kodesh. Aye, it's tahar. No mass, nothing ever touched it, it's tahar. But nonetheless, we're seeing that even though it's tahar, It's not on the same mila as a kli which is tahar and kaddish for kaddish. And even deeper than that is that you have a beget, the Mar says, that you have a beget which is tahar to be able to be used. Someone, a kohen, wants to eat kaddish and he has a beget on. so that, and he made sure it was tahar for Kodesh. Nonetheless, he cannot use it if he wants to start preparing the mechatas for the Parah Aduma, because you need even a higher level of Kedusha. But the point what the Rebbe is trying to point out is that you can have something which is tahar, something which is Kodesh, but nonetheless, it's not on the highest level of Kedusha. It could be a Yerida B'mayla. So the same thing by the Luchas, they might have had a Maila, that they were Maisa L'Kimeima, but since they lost the Michtav, that means there already was a Yerida B'mayla. So Hamduma B'didi Didon, who be Yerida B'mayla, that's what we're referring to over here. So this L'Chaira answers the second question, that why did Moshe Rabbeinu feel that he had to break them? The reason why he had to break them is because that was the Tikkun for the Luchas. Now we're going to answer question number three. Why does that to say that he grabbed onto the Luchas and broke them? Hine, Nesunus Alucha, Sinas Aluchas Haisa El Moshe, V'manas L'nicha B'Aron. The Medrash tells us that the Luchas was actually given as a gift to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, because he had an Ayin Toive, he had a good eye, he took them on condition to put them to the Aron, L'masim L'tzibu, to give it over to the Bnei Yisrael. But Hashem actually gave them to Moshe Rabbeinu. It was Moshe Rabbeinu's decision, and he received it, he took it from Hashem, and he had a mind to give it over to the Bnei Yisrael. Therefore, this is the Rebbe explains this a bit more in Lekutei Sichas Chelek Lamedalet, assuming the Rebbe is trying to say the same word, is that since Moshe Rabbeinu took it on Manas to give it over to Bnei Yisrael, even though it was given to him as a gift, but he was koyneh it on condition to give it to someone. So there's such an halacha, alpi midas chasidus, that for example, when someone's trying to buy something from you, and they give you a price, and in your mind you accept that price, but you don't reply right away because you're busy doing something else, and then they contact you again and say, "Oh, I'm going to double the price or triple the price." Midas chasidus is that in your mind, since you had intention to sell to him at the lower price, you should sell to him at the lower price because that was your intention. So similarly over here, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was kainet, so it's his. But in his mind, he had intention to give it to Bnei Yisrael. So therefore, the shaila is, Apimidus Chasidus, what right did he have to destroy it? Since his intention was to be kainet for the Bnei Yisrael, to give it to them, so what right did he have to destroy them? L'chayr Apimidus Chasidus, you should have given over to the Bnei Yisrael because that was his intention. Therefore, before he broke them, he needed to grab onto them. Meaning is, he needed to make a new Maisa Kinyan. He made another Kinyan on the Luchais that it should become his completely. And once it was his complete, meaning as he was cutting it this time with an intention of breaking it, then he was able to break it. Okay, so that answers the third question. So the Rebbe is going to say this, this was more of a lachic type of answer. We're going to say this also b'pnim yisinyam. He says the Michtav Elokim was engraved on the Luchos. It was engraved. So meaning is the letters was not something which was added. It wasn't ink that was added on the Luchos. Rather, it's one thing with the Luchos. It was engraved in them and with them. I remove it. Meaning is that since the Michtav Elokim was poiled on the Luchas in a way that became totally one, it became one entity with the Luchas. Meaning is the Maisa Elokim and the Michtav Elokim are not two mindless at this point. Rather, is now they became one. Because the Michtav Elokim is part of the Maisa Elokim. So it's all one idea. In other words, basically is, it's not Maisa Elokim anymore, it's really now, at this time, a Michtav Elokim. It was Mis'ala, it went up to a higher level. Or maybe even to give an example. You know, a man and a woman get married. So you have a diamond ring. So a diamond ring is something extremely valuable. But when you take the diamond ring and you give it to the woman as a kedushin to get married, it's not anymore just a diamond ring anymore. It's something of much greater value. This is something which symbolizes your marriage. So similarly to Luchas. The Luchas is something that was very precious. But once Hashem put the Michtav Elokim, it's not just Luchas anymore. This is something which expresses the contract, the contract that the Yidin and Hashem had, it's on a much greater level than it would have been on its own. I guess you could say that in similarly with anything, any object that you have. A person has a sefer that he buys. So a sefer, of course, is something very, very precious to him. But then you use that sefer, and you learn in that sefer, and every single day for a whole year, you're going and you're learning. At the end of that year, it has your notes in it, it has your tears, your effort, your sweat. That sefer has much greater value. So if at the beginning of the year you bought it for $20, you mistama wouldn't sell it for $20, because this is something which has a much greater value. It's not just a value of the sefer itself. This is a sefer that you worked on and you developed, and you have a relationship now with it. Just a dumma, trying to show how you can have one idea, one concept, one item, but it could be oyla b'madrega, you know, has much more meaning to you than it had initially. L'chein. Kasher parach kosav ma'aleim. Afshin nish'ar behem ma'alosom etzad yusam ma'isil l'kim. Mikol mokim eim behem mamash. V'roi l'sham gram ha'yoyis v'kvar nechkakach nes'atsam behem shem mitziyusam ha'amichtav el'kim v'hu parach ma'aleim. He says, therefore, he says, even though after, when the letters left, so even though, yeah, it still remained a ma'isil l'kim, but it's eim behem mamash and it's worthwhile, it's right to destroy them, because since the letters became one with the stone, now it's a stone. These luchas are now something which is michtal alakim. And when you lose that michtal alakim, it lost its main value at this point. It's like almost it's right to destroy it. For example, you know, give me the example of the diamond ring. You know, the diamond ring has value, but then you get married, it has much greater value. But if chas v'shalom something happens to that marriage, the pshat that diamond ring is, it's not like, oh, now it's just the diamond ring. No, the diamond ring is something which causes tsar, something which causes pain to the couple. So it's something that you want to get rid of, right? Sometimes you throw it back at your spouse. In the sense is that this is something which expresses pain. So this is maybe a deeper explanation why Moshe Rabbeinu felt he had to destroy the luchas. Because the luchas at this point, once they became the contract, in a sense, the relationship that Hashem had with the Yidin, because the luchas, the michtav elokim, was put on it, it became something much greater than just the luchas mitzad themselves. And therefore, when the Yidin did something wrong, now it's an expression of tsar. This is something, this is the contract. The Yidin and Hashem got married, and the Yidin broke that marriage by doing the cheta egel. This is something now which causes tsar, right? Man and a wife, before they met, before they got married, they might have been friends, they might have been friendly with each other. But once something happens, now there's, and they got married, and then chas v'shalom, there's a divorce, there's things that happen in their marriage. Now the relationship is not just how, you know, it's how it used to be. You'll be two strangers, or you know what, you'll be friendly like you were before. No, now it's a relationship which actually causes tsar and pain. And therefore it's royal l'shabim, you got to break the luchis, so it doesn't remind us of that tsar. We need to start again. Yisera nizu. Parach ksav malei v'pashas in lefarsha parach ben gufa ksav v'usis atzman. More than this, he says when the letters left, it doesn't mean literally that the letters themselves, the gufa, the actual letters themselves left. That's not what it means. Im kimao lashon luchish em hamamish, haizu luchish em hem klum. He says, because if it meant that the letters themselves left, it shouldn't have said that the luchis don't have any substance to it. It should have said the luchis don't have anything within it. Meaning is, you know, we obviously know that there's still luchis. The luchis are still there. But originally there were luchis that had writing in it. Now there are luchis that don't have. So what would have expressed the best way to say that the luchis don't have any writing? It should have said the luchis, emem kum, they don't have anything within it. Meaning is luchis are meant to writing on. And now they're the luchis that don't have any writing on it. They have nothing on it. Like you have a piece of paper. So you have a clean piece of paper, and you know, then you have writing. So when the writing gets erased, then it will be a piece of paper, she'ein bei klum. You're not going to say that the piece of paper doesn't have anything mamish on it. Mamish implies is that there's something there. It just doesn't have any substance to it. What do you mean? You erase the paper, there's no more letters there at all. It should say there's nothing, ein bei klum, there's nothing on it, there's no writing on it. Rather, it says, ein behem mamish, it doesn't have any substance to it. Meaning is that the letters were still there on the luchos, but the letters at this point meant nothing. Mekayim shaksav hayim ha'atzman shaluchis har kol zman shaluchis hayish leim es terem shifurasan har ha'yishlam gam ha'ksav ha'chokopem. He says, furthermore, also just logically, he says, we just said that the luchis were, the letters were engraved onto the luchis. So if the luchis were shleimus, as long as the luchis were shleimus, then obviously the letters had to be in them because they were actually part and parcel of it. So how do you, if it was ink, you could say, oh, the ink flew away. But if they were engraved, what exactly flew away? They were holes within the luchis. So if they flew away, what does that mean? It means what, that the luchis broke and there was nothing there left? Does it mean that, you know, the stone became complete again? Elamai, what does it mean is? It just means, as the Rebbe is going to explain, Elakavana Sheparcha Ruach HaKodesh Shehi Bekerav Kol Ois V'Ois. The pshat is that the Ruach HaKodesh, which was in every single letter, flew away, and now you didn't have that extra level, that Michtav Elokim, that special level of Kedusha, wasn't within them anymore. Is that moving? From this is understood that the mitzvah samitzias of the luchos was not the guf haksav, the actual writing. Rather, the main thing was the ruach, the neshama which was in the ksav. Kasher parcha ruach haneshama shel ksav, af shenisharu ha'isis b'tziyuram eimah mamash. Therefore, it's understood that once the letters, the ruach, left, the neshama left, that even though the letters might have been there, but ein behem mamish, it has no substance. It's kilu, you have the piece of paper, and you have the writing in there, but it doesn't mean anything. It's like intelligible. You know, the letters go all mixed up. It's ein behem mamish, it has no substance. It has no meaning to it. Similarly, you might have had the letters, but the letters didn't mean anything anymore because the kedusha which was in them left. Sifhei, hine dugma shtei hamailas to kedusha shahayi baluchas harishonim al hamais elakim shal haluchas atzvan beis hamichtav. So now we're going back to comparing the Toichen Kololi and also the Pratim to the Luchos. He says, just by the Luchos, you have two milas, the Mais Elokim and the Michtav Elokim. Also by Yid, you have two milas. You have the Guf and the Neshama. Guf shall Ish HaYisraeli, who bedugmas haLuchos Atzma Shai Mais Elokim. Kumayim gam Guf HaYisraeli, Yesh by Kedusha Nefla. He says the body of the Yid is just like the Ma'is Elokim of the Luchos, because the Guf of Yisrael also has a Kedusha Nefla. R27, 8 Tanya, Perek Mem Test, Ubanu Bacharta V'Kamam V'Lashon Hu Aguf. Hashem chose you from every land, for every nation. That's the body, meaning it's the Kedusha Nefla that the body has. Hashem chose the body. V'Nashama Shenit Nebo Yidug Mas Hamichta Elokim Shayichar Saluchos. And of course, the neshama is like the letters. That's like the michta l'lakim, which was engraved on the luchis. Neshama atzma kam bechinas heim zu lefnim zu chalolus neshama neshama l'neshama saderech hanah michta l'lakim. He says, and in the neshama itself, there are also many levels. Right, as we know, there's five levels to the neshama. General, there's the neshama, which are the nefesh ruach neshama, and there's the neshama l'neshmasha, which is chay yechida. And this is similar to what we say by the letters written on the luchos, that you had the michtav elokim. So also in the michtav elokim, you also had different levels which were in them, which is explained in Chassidic and in Tanya, the different levels which were in the michtav elokim. Also, Ara 29. You can see details. So, Kamayisha Luchos Ime Yoish Lachayim Inyan La'atzim Gamil Adei Michtav Elokim Shayichar Saleim Shahari Mitzuusim Shal Haluchos Hoisa Kiyamas Kaidim Shanachas Behemaser Sidibris. So he says, just like the Luchos Ime Yoish that Lachayim, they were an Inyan by themselves even before the Michtav Elokim was engraved with them, because they were Mitzias and Luchos before the Ser Sidibris were put on them. Calls that Achreishen Nachrasa Behem Haser Sidibus. This Alu be Iloi Atzmi Atchik Kol Mitzuyusam Hu Amichtav Elokim. Nonetheless, once they were engraved, they were Nisala, and they became a new Mitzius. They became a Michtav Elokim. Bo'ofin Shakasher Parach Haksav Harin Davrish Ein Behem Mamish Ubo L'Shvir Sehefsid Mitzuyusam Klal. And then they became such a one union with the Michtav Elokim that when the Michtav Elokim was Parach, it's something that doesn't have any mamish. It has no more meaning that it came to destroying it and losing its metzias, as we explained earlier. Once it didn't have the michtav elokim, the luchos were, it was worthy to be destroyed, broken. So, kenu b'negei l'guf ha'yisraeli. Even though we know that the guf ha-Yisraeli does not come from the neshama, rather it's created from the tipa of the av ve'im. And even more than that, the body is created before the neshama is actually put in it. The neshama is only put into it after the child's born. And even that, there's many different levels by the bris, by the upsherness, by the bar mitzvah. He says, nonetheless, once the neshama is mislabish within the body, the shleimus of this mislabishus is that the neshama is not considered something extra on the body, rather the neshama becomes the essence of what the body is. As we say, that the life of the tzaddik is not his physical life, rather it's a spiritual life, which is amuna, yira, ava. What do we mean? It's shouldn't to be. What does the Alter Rebbe mean? That the life of the tzaddik is not chayim besarim. Rather, it's everything. It should have said the chayim tzaddik is not only chayim besarim, but it's also these other inyanim. Rather, the point what the Rebbe is bringing out is that it's not chayim besarim. The tzaddik does not live for the sake of the body to eat, to drink. The body at this point loses its own meaning of physical life, and its entire purpose is rather just to fulfill what the neshama wants of amuna aviv yir. This is a similar idea that we have that all of your acts do not have meaning on their own, that I'm going to business for the sake of business. Rather, everything I have, the business has no meaning on its own. What's the point of business? The point of business only has meaning once it's connected to Hashem, once it's connected, that I'm doing this business in order to serve Hashem. So similarly with the body and the neshama, the body only has meaning once the neshama comes into it, only to fulfill what the neshama wants. This is the comparison between the Mises of the Tzaddikim and the Shvias Aluches, that both of them changed from how they were initially. The body of the Tzaddik and the Luches of the stone of the Luches, initially they had one level of Kedusha, but then they became a new Metzias, and their original Metzias is not there anymore. You cannot go back to what it once was. It became something new. That became its entire Metzias. Just like the diamond ring. The diamond ring cannot just be returned to, oh, it's just a diamond ring, it's worth a lot of money, you should hold on to it. It looks nice, it's good, it looks like beautiful jewelry. No, once it was nis'ala to have a meaning of marriage, once that marriage is lost, you can't just wear it. Stop, I'm going to wear it, it looks nice. No, it lost its entire meaning. It's not the same thing that it was before. Vav. Sa'pi kalanal yuvan gam gudla ilu shevishvire luches. V'shaychusa l'mocham kanasa peishuk. Shayu yitz l'mocham ha'yitz imayim ha'arun shamayim nachal shevire luches. Now we can go back to Sif Beis. We asked, what would the great Mayil? We said there was also an Ili in the Shivrei Luchis. And the Ili was that when they went out to war, they would take specifically with them the broken Luchis. So we asked, why? L'chayr, that reminds them of the Aver of the Chet Egel. But he said, no, there's also a very big Mayil. And that helps them win the war. Teichanu shal b'chamas b'nei Yisrael hu, av shehayu dor deya b'midbar, la'av var seyar l'lichboish nachlos goyim eretz kanan, la'asoy se eretz Yisrael, Eretz Asher Eini Hashem L'kacha B'Mereishis Hashana B'Achris Hashana. V'chol Kama Shalai Nichbashan Kol Ha'aretz Kulai Harzeh Melchemetz Mitzvah Lichbosh Nachlas Goyim L'Asoy Sidir Lo Yisbar. He says the Teichen of the wars of the Eden war, that even though they were Dar Deyab in Midbar, right? Remember, the Dar Deyab, they would learn Torah, their whole Kulai Mitzvusam was in Yonam of Ruchnias. Nonetheless, once they crossed the Yarden, their purpose was to conquer the Goyim, of the Eretz Canaan, and make it to Eretz Yisrael. Make it a land where Ein Hashem L'kecha B'Mereishis Hashana V'Achris Hashana. And as long as they did not conquer the entire land, it was the Mechamas Mitzvah. Meaning the Mechamas Mitzvah was to conquer everything. As the Rambam explains, and many halachas are relevant for that, meaning is that once they would have conquered the entire Eretz Yisrael, then any land that they conquered afterwards would have become part of Eretz Yisrael in the sense that they'd be chayv in Trumas and my sisters and would have had Kedusha. But since David HaMelech and the Yidden never actually finished conquering the Eretz Yisrael, the borders that Hashem gave them, in Partis and Matis and Masoi, therefore any lands that they conquered did not happen. They rise to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael when you get to the Yom of Trumas and Maisers. But the point is that once they crossed over, they became a new Metzias. Their new Metzias is they had to be people that were doing the Chametz Mitzvah to conquer Eretz Yisrael, to make it a land of Eini Hashem Lekach Baris Hashanah V'Achus Hashanah. Right? So that it's in a sense that same idea that we've been talking about. They were tzaddikim before, but now they're becoming a menu metzias. They're becoming a metzias of making a dir b'tachtoinim. Right? They were a deridea, but now they're reaching a much deeper level of making a dira b'tachtoinim. And of course, that was the whole, you know, the veit of the Meraglim, that they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to stay, this was a deridea. But that would have mean staying on the level of, you know, that would have been similar to staying at the level of the guf, or staying at the level of the luchos themselves without being mis'ala to the much deeper and higher level. So has ayuris va kaych lezabayim hashivrei luchis. K'moyisha luchis shigam etzar atzma huisa v'hem ha-maila d'maisa l'kim olu maila l'gdei lo yoyser ha-maila d'michta l'kim ad k'dei kach shakasher perkum hem ha-maila zu lo yem hem amish. So the ayuris of this kaych was from the shivrei luchis. Just like the luchis mitzad themselves, they had a great maila. They're a maila elakim. But once they were oila to the greater maila, and they became a new mitzis, they became the mitzis of michtav elakim, that was what it was at this point. And therefore, once the luchis lost the michtav elakim, it was porcha mahem, lehev emamish, and like no meaning to it anymore. Similarly, when the yidin are going to war, they have to remember that. That we are now at a higher level. We are Yidden that are conquering Eretz Yisrael. We cannot go back to how we were in the Dor Deah. You know, we're in Eretz Yisrael, our Voideh now is making a Dir B'tachtayim. So at this point where we are, we cannot go back and say, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, leave my job, leave everything what I'm doing, and go learn the base of Madrash, not worry about everything. I'm going back to how I was in the times of the desert. I'm just going to worry about learning Torah and nothing else. No, we've already moved on. You're already at a deeper level that we have the mission of making a dir b'tachtonim. The Torah that we learn has to actually affect the world. So if a person went back, it would be considered as if lo yai b'ham amish. So harizem o'irah ha-tzayyutz l'mochama. Sh'loi daim klaba ha-mayas l'chulu sh'yesh mehem ad ata sh'em tzadikim b'chulu. So it wasn't enough. Like that's what was the question. Weren't they tzadikim? Wouldn't that have been enough to be able to help the conqueror to Israel? No, it wouldn't have been. Rather, it was not enough because they needed, by a mechamas mitzvah and a chayva, they needed to girder all of their koiches in order to conquer Eretz Yisrael. B'loshan Rambam, kol Eretz Yisrael u'matayra. They need to conquer the entire Eretz Yisrael, which is mentioned in the Torah. Shezehu kailol, shezeh chetziva meisha menu, pi hagvura, lakufas kol ba'il eilu makal mitzvah shenestav b'nei nayach. This is Kailal, not just, you know, the physical board of Eretz Yisrael, but even more than that, that to force all the Baya Eilam that they need to do the Shem Mitzvah B'nei Nayach, and they needed to Mekabel it because that's what Hashem commanded in the Torah. Meaning is to make a Dira Lo Yisparach B'tachtonim, and in order to do that, you need to have all of your Koiches and all of your strength. And that makes you a totally new Mitzvah. The lesson is, a person cannot be satisfied with whatever level he's reached in his avodas Hashem until now. Even if he's already at a level of a tzaddik, it's a mitzvah and a chayva to be able to, for him to reach a madriga nailus yeser. Never to be satisfied. And that's why the Yidden took the luchos with them. Right? This is to remind them of the idea. Right now we might be at tzaddik. Right now we're like the luchis in the sense that we're just maise elakim. But once our purpose is to reach the kama michtav elakim, to reach that higher level. And once we become this new metzias, how we are right now won't even be aim behem mamish. Won't even be aim behem mamish. So you need to think about that. Right now, you know, I've done everything. I'm good. Baruch Hashem, you're a tzaddik. But your mission is to reach that deeper and higher, greater level, and come in new metzias. And once you reach that newer level, you realize that what it was in the past is aimed at mamish relative to who you are now. Zayin. V'nei razu shayachas gam l'pashas is inyan d'misasan shel tzadikim. Says this is also connected to the pashas inyan. We say a misa v'tzadik. Amr azal tzadikim eim l'manucha lei b'lam azal v'lei l'mabash. Nema yeichu machay l'chayim v'gayim. Hayin sha'in dem aliyat midas v'avaydasam l'kainam. Says an end of says in the Mara and Brachis, also says in the end of Moed Katan, that it says that tzaddikim never have any menucha. Because they're always constantly going from one level to the next level. In this world, in Olam Haba, they're always having an aliyah to meet us in their Aveda to Hashem. So this is, they're always constantly reaching a new metzias, a higher level. But on the Yema Yurtzai, it's much greater than that. By Tami Yishlemer. So Mavur Mekam Mekamis, Lichdei La'as Medregal Yeini Yeser, Shu Be'ena Reuchla Medregasa Hekedemes, Harizei Ayideh Hagdamas Bitl Medregasa Hekedemes. He says, in order to reach a higher level, which is Be'ena Reuch to the prior level, you actually have to be, to Mevatl your previous Medrega. Meaning is, if you want to reach from point one to point two, but point one to point two is Be'ena Reuch one from the next, you cannot stay at point one and just add to where you are, because since there is an infinite gap between the two, you'll never reach it. Because however much you jump and jump and jump, but how can you reach from finite to infinite? Rather, you actually need to get rid of what you were before. And only once you start from the beginning, you can start from that second level, you get rid of what you were before, and then you start from the second level, and then you're able to move on with it. Probably the reason why a yid is able to do that and move from one level to the next, even though it's bein erech, because the yid has a neshama, and his neshama is bleak vol. So the regilus, the things that you've accustomed yourself to, even if it's regilus of kedusha, those things are limited. So you need to get it. You need to get rid of any limitations that you had that you've picked up throughout your life, even if they're kedusha. And when you get rid of all those limitations, you're able to reach against the essence of your neshama, and be able to be ein erech to what you were before. So that's the idea of bittel. Veloshen Admar Zaken, Sheva Yipel Tzadik. Tzadik has to fall seven times, meaning he has to be mizbatel who he is, and then he's able to reach the higher level. Ubei Madrega LeMadrega, Tam Shevi LeMadrega, LeYainim Menu, he bechinis the Fila Madrega has Rishayna. And then from one level to the next, before he actually reaches the higher level, he's even in a Fila from his first level, because again, he has to be mizbatel. Aderech Zem Misasa Shel Tzadikim, Shamita, Shamisa. Bitl mitziyusam hakadamis he hagdama v'achana l'aliyasam v'ilam zalagan eden aliyah shalay be'erach. So similarly, the misa of tzaddikim, the misa means it's a bitl of their prior mitzias. That is the preparation for them to able to reach from ilam hazat to gan eden, which is liyab lay be'erach. So why does a tzaddik need to be in this battle? Because the idea is that he has to reach a level which is be'in a rechayah, right? So he's in this world in a body, that's one level. But he wants to reach the level of Gan Eden. There needs to be a complete bitl. Well, that's the union of Misa. And then he can reach this level, which is Be'in Arach Hayah, which is Gan Eden. That's also says by Moshe Rabbeinu. Only once he passed away was he able to reach the Shar Nun. L'chein. B'chol shana v'shana b'yema yartzat. Kashem es'ayra inyan k'moy shayi b'pam rishayni. Yesh aliyah ne'sefes yesera. Aliyah shalei b'erach aliyah sektamah. So similarly, every single year on the Yema Yartzat, when the Se'inyan is awakened once more, just like as it was on the first time, there's an aliyah be'in aroich. Similarly, every single year, there's another aliyah be'in aroich relative to the aliyah that he had last year. U'mezesh amr chazal tzadikim eim l'manucha. Gam ba'ilam ba'a, which is gan eden, l'alachayra hazah hilchus ala gan eden. He says this, that the chazal tell us, that tzadikim eim l'him l'manucha even o'ilam ha'ba, which is gan eden. L'alachayra, what's the connected to us? What do we care? We're in this world. We only care about halachis, which is relevant to us here. Why are you telling us halachos which are relevant to Gan Eden? Muchich shegam zeh sheyesh aliyas letzadikim Gan Eden is negeh ba'avoy da'ata. Haynu ke'idei aliyas letzad mechayel chayel ha'uzer tziyua v'nisi nizkayich l'chol ha'sheyachim alav. Lo'im din terasa v'chulu ba'vedasim eim la'alos mechayel l'chayel. The reason why we need to know this is because through the aliyah of the tzaddik mechayel l'chayel, this is actually a siyua and a nesiyach koyach for everybody that shaykh to the tzaddik. Those who learn the tzaddik's Torah, that they are also able to go mechayel l'chayel. So when the yortzeit comes, it's important for us to know that we cannot remain who we were at the last yortzeit. We need to mevatel ourselves and connect to the tzaddik anew in an ein aroich higher level than we were on the previous year. Especially, that's, I guess, every day the tzaddik's constantly going higher. But especially on the Yom HaYortzeit, when the aliyah's even a much greater way, in a much much more powerful way than on a regular day. So this is the connection to it was. So this is why this lesson is connected also to the pashtus of the inyan of mitzvos and shel tzaddikim, the recognition that just like the tzaddik has to is constantly transforming who he is from one mitzvah to the next, we also need to remember that we need to transform ourselves from one level, whatever level we are, to the much greater level, like a whole new mitzvah relative to where we are now. So al pizem uven shemayli yaseir neflam negel estalkus akshur begolus. So it's understood that this mila is even more connected when the stalkus of the tzaddik is connected to the golus, like the Rebbe's father, because the Rebbe's father passed away in the area in that vicinity where he had his golus. Uvor b'sefer achinuch, ashtzal golus shalkel kamat kasar misa shenifra da adam ayavav meretz mladata v'sheichin kol yamav imzar. So the Sefer Chinuch explains that the Tzar Golos is shakal. It's almost the same level of pain as Misa. Because a person is separated from those who he loves, and he's separated from his birthplace, and he has to live with strangers. So it's like almost like Misa in the sense that you're not where you're used to, right? When you're alive, you're used to certain comforts and certain people, and when you're dead, you don't have that. You're like a new Metzias. So similarly, when you're in Golos, you're almost like a new Metzias, because who you are, when you're with your family, you're in a certain environment, you have your certain regilson, you have a certain way that you're used to acting, you have your certain culture. But when you're in Golos, you have to have it's a completely new culture, completely new people, the way how you have to interact is new, everything changes, you're like a new Metzias. So that's one thing. Tsar Golos, in a sense, is even worse than Tsar Misa. Misa is for one moment. Tsar Golos is the Tsar Misa that lasts a long time. Therefore, the Kim Tera Mitzvah, when a person's in Golos, even though there's a much pain in Tsar, which is connected to it, this is a very great Milo. So we know that Hanani Mishal Vazaria were willing, they threw themselves into the fire, they were thrown into the fire, because they did not want to bow down, did not want to do a Vaidazar. But the Gemara tells us that if they would have been beaten and tortured, then they would not have been able to handle the torture and they would have bowed down. So even though the great Mila that they had, that they were their Moiser Nefesh, but nonetheless we see that the union of Tsar that lasts a long time, even though it's not Misa, it was just torture, it wasn't Misa. But torture for a long time can even be worse than Misa. So same thing, Golos for a long time can even be worse than Inyan of Misa. So the point is that this, what the Rebbe is trying to show is that the Inyan of Golos, as we said, is the Inyan of Bitl Metzias, right? Which is the whole point, what we're trying to express over here. That this Inyan of Golos for a long time means that a person's constantly changing his Metzias to a much greater level. So it's understood that the aliyah that comes after this, we know that according to the pain is the reward. So the aliyah that comes after such a pain and so much sar of the Indian of Golas is a much greater aliyah than the aliyah which is a mitzvah shel tzaddikim. So over here we have mitzvah shel tzaddikim which is connected to the Indian of Golas. So you have both Indian. So within the Misas and Shal Tzaddikim, this great aliyah that you have within the Mis of Tzaddikim, when it's connected to Golos, that's even a greater and a deeper level of aliyah. So similarly with the Siyua and the Sinas Koyach that we get for all those who are Shaykh to the Tzaddik. There's a Maimar Chazal that after the head, the body follows the head. So therefore, so even if we're in two different places, the head's in one place and the body's somewhere else, so the head, the tzaddik, is in Gan Eden and it's constantly reaching higher levels. The body, which is us, which is in this world, we go after the tzaddik and we're also constantly going me'aliyah la'aliyah. Especially when we learn Torah, that there's no yichud like the lichud, there's no yichud found in this world, like the yichud that happens through Torah, that you become literally one with the Devar Seichel. Meaning is, l'chayra, that it's not just that the head and the body are in two different places, you become completely one. You are now the head. So Ibazoi, then for sure the Aliyah is very great. Similarly, this with this, the general Avaida, through the Avaida of Mechayel Chayel that we have in Galus, that Shamma Muguf, with the Galus, Zab B'toich Galus Shaydei Chet Asadas, Shadanu B'gershin, Valacha Zab B'toich Galus, the Galinim Artsin, Vagalus, Zab Atzme Galus Meshchun and Lashchun, Vagalus, Zab Atzme, Befrat B'Vaidas, Yemaisachal. So he said, therefore he says like this, there's a Galus of the Neshama in a body. And then there's a galus while we're in this world, and a neshama b'guf, we're in a galus after we got thrown out of Gan Eden because of the Chedek Tzedas. And then we got even thrown out of Eretz Yisrael because Galina Maratzenu. And then even in this galus, we left from one shchuna to another shchuna. Again, like as we know by the Rebbe's father, that he had to leave the Dnamim Pestrofs. And he had to go to Golis in the Ir Kastrama. And Megolis Atzmai, especially when it's during a weekday. This for Rangan happened during a weekday. So this is all Achana to the Veda, to the Darga and the Maila, which is higher than Inyan of Elias. Meaning is, it's the Avodah of Yom HaShabbos Menucha, which is the seventh year, which is Shabbos LaHashem, to the seventh, the Elif HaShvi, Yom Shukul Shabbos, Menucha L'Chayalamin, Chayalamin, meaning is to the dawn of Mashiach, it should come very quickly in our days.